Okay, so hello everyone. I'm Aniket Pradhan. Am I audible over there? It's fine. Yeah, cool. So I'm Aniket Pradhan, and today I'll be talking about Neuro Fedora and how we can use, about Neuro Fedora, what it is, and what's the aim and motive behind it, and what's the purpose of, like, actually having a Neuro Fedora thing over here. So I guess, like, everyone would be aware of Fedora, what Fedora is. So Fedora is just another operating system based on Linux, just like Debian or Ubuntu. So Neuro Fedora is a group that's main purpose is to provide neuroscience packages, neuroscience software in Fedora. So before we dig deeper into Neuro Fedora, let's just start about, like, how do we do our research in neuroscience in the neuroscience community. So the research pipeline, basically. So, I mean, as you can see in the diagram, it's actually a simplified diagram, but it's actually quite complex process. So, I mean, it's the general overflow. I mean, like, we go from data analysis to theory, and then we have, like, modeling any neuroscience structure, and then we have our experiments and stuff. Like, most of these works nowadays are being conducted through the use of computer software and computer tools. So, like, there are many tools. For experimental, we have, like, EEG monitoring and stuff, and, like, we have CT machines, we have MRI. For data analysis, we have statistical machine learning libraries and data analysis like NumPy, SciPy, Python libraries, And then we have theory and modeling softwares. There are all kinds of simulators. So, I mean, like, there's a list of, like, all kinds of tools and softwares that we use to, like, produce and reproduce information in the research domain. That's, like, we need softwares for visualization, academic writing, like LaTeX and I don't know any other software than LaTeX, but yeah. We have non-academic writing, like blogging, and we use software for podcasting and stuff, and so on and so forth. Okay, so what do we mean by free and open science? Okay, so I mean, like, free and open, like, everyone should be able to, like, have the freedom to share, read, or make amendments and modify to your scientific material, right? Like, that's the definition of FOSS. Everyone should have freedom to access and study what we are actually working on, right? So, okay, let's move on forward. So over here, it's a paper by P. Gleason about a commitment to open science and neuroscience. It's basically, its main motive is to solve the reproducibility crisis that we have. Like, we are unable to reproduce the data or the results. I mean, like, that's very important if you are publishing some papers or your results on to the public. So, like, what can be the benefits of having open source codes? I mean, like, it can, first of all, solve the reproducibility crisis. Like, people can reuse that code and then build upon their new tools and software on it. And the publication or the code becomes an advert for each other. I mean, like, you go to a publication, people will look at your code. You go to the code, people look at your publication, and then you can go on forth with developing new stuff. So, Neuro Fedora, why? So, I mean, like, the neuroscience community is full of, the scientific community is full of people from different domains. I mean, not everyone over here is a software developer, right? I mean, most people are biologists or some data analysts or some, not everyone is a software developer. Not everyone has the required experience, right? So only a small proportion of the scientists or the actual people working on research are trained software developers. So they work on the software and they are basically developers of the software tool. They create a tool that can be used by the end users. But the main problem here is that the developer may not provide, like, proper instruction on how to use the tool. I mean, he may not provide documentation. And there are some people, the end user, and, like, the end users, they are not necessarily trained software developers, so they may not have the required knowledge or the experience to build and use the tool directly. And over here, the end users may not always provide the feedback on how good the tool is, if it's working correctly or not. So if you are a developer, I mean, a neuroscience tool developer, then like you often face many of such problems. Like there's often a single developer, a single professor who's working on a single or a small team who's working on a single development tool. So, and like given how interdisciplinary the neuroscience community is, most researchers are not trained in development. So, I mean, like we have limited maintenance or short-lived projects, because once a research work is done, like people no longer contribute to it, and they have limited access to hardware, limited code quality, and like based on all these evidences, like software used in research is not always of the best quality, may not always be of the best quality. So, I mean, like it may or may not meet the development standards that people in the programming domain have, like the proper developers who are trained in software programming and all. So, and they have complex dependency chains. There can be some dependency loops as well, but like how can a developer solve that? So that's the problem in the software, in the research domain right now. But for the end users, like many of the end users, they waste time and effort to install installing a particular tool. They have to go through the particular tool's dependencies and then resolve the dependencies first and then get the tool. Right. They lack the required skill of programming, usually. I mean, like, not always, but yeah. They have a hard time setting up and using the software. They rarely send bug reports upstream. And they do not check for tests. I mean, like, they do not run the tests with. So how do they ensure the correctness of the working program? I mean, testing the correctness of a program is very important in the research domain and the academic domain. That's to ensure your final paper's correctness. And many of the end users are unaware of the helpful developmental tools. Like, many end users do not know that there exists a library to analyze your DICOM files and everything, but instead they do it manually. So that's where NeuroFedora or distributions come in. So what basically distributions do is that they take the code from the developer and then they package it in a neat and nice way and then provide it to the end user. So the distributions like Fedora or Debian, they act as a liaison between the user and the developers. They provide the feedback and report bugs to the developer as well. And it basically simplifies your installation and your usage of any software tool that is being packaged. So, I mean, like, distributions like Fedora, they have a good advantage at being over here. They have high-end servers, they have, like, multiple mirrors running across the globe, and they have the infrastructure, and they are, like, firm packaging guidelines. We follow the best practices. We always run the test suites, and we, before a tool is packaged, it goes through a heavy-duty review process. So, I mean, like, the tool is properly tested, and then it is provided to the end users. And we constantly work on community development. We learn from one another, and we always provide help to the users. So that's where we come in. So NeuroFedora, what it is, it's a group of people who are aiming to package your neuroscience tools and software for the Fedora operating system. So our primary goal is to provide a ready-to-use, integrated, fast platform for neuroscientists, right? So we aim to create a spin or a lab image of your Fedora and provide it to the users. In fact, we have created one, and I will share it to you in the next few slides. And our secondary goal is to improve the standards of packaging and maintaining the tools, help users develop the software development skills that are required for when you are creating a tool or when you are using it, and make neuroscience accessible to non-specialists, right? So about NeuroFedora, our current metrics, we just turned a year old in September 2019. We have like 20 volunteers, 16 packagers, and only 5 who hail from a neuroscience background. So most of us are just acting as packagers, while those 5 are actually guiding us on how to package and how to review stuff. We have 5 designers and newcomers as well. So, sorry. So, about software, we have like 135 tools we have packaged for Fedora right now. We have like the Neuron Simulator, the Nest Simulator, Genesis, Brian, Moose, and we have like multiple packages in queue as well. We have around like 180 packages in queue. Like some, sorry. Sorry, yeah. So we have like 180 packages in queue that are in process of being packaged and stuff. So we have NeuroMLite and simulators of that kind as well. So I guess that's it. This is the current slide. I mean, you can search us on Google and you can search. We have a mailing list over here as well. We have an IRC channel, a Telegram channel as well. Our documentation is present at neuro.fedoraproject.org. We have a blog as well. Please do have a look at it. That's it for me. So, any questions people may have regarding NeuroFedora over here? Yes, please. Can you please read the question?
So I was wondering if you guys are maintaining your own separate repository or if these packages are living in the central Fedora repository. And if they are separate, how much effort is going into getting them into Fedora proper?
All the packages that we are creating right now. The question is if we are creating a separate repository for Fedora, this upstream is separate from the Fedora repository, right? So the upstream is separate from our Fedora repository. I mean, we are creating our own packages, and they are getting stored in the Fedora servers. The upstream is separate from it. We just take the release tarball or the release zip from the upstream, and then use it as our source code, and then we package it in a nice way, and then we provide it to the end users. So it's all separate, right? Please.
As a follow-up question, how would you describe the help or the how does the Fedora team core welcomes like packaging coming from the scientific background?
Coming from the scientific world.
Yeah.
So his question is, what does the Fedora core team think of the packages coming from the scientific world? So I don't have any views of that, what the core team thinks of, the Fedora core teams think, but we as a group think that each and every software can be from any domain, like either be it scientific or video or multimedia. So that's our perspective, that we want neuroscience packages in Fedora, so we formed a group. We want like neuroscience packages, and the Fedora, the community is very welcoming. The core team, they actually support us for including the packages in Fedora. Sorry for I have a bad throat right now. Anyone, any questions? Any further questions? Okay, I guess that's it. Sure.